Hello, it's Steph, and welcome to episode 50 of the Creating a Happy Writers podcast. It's a milestone episode today, and I thought to celebrate, we talk about something that I love talking about, but that also has the most profound impact on writers I work with, and that's good writing habits. I'm a multi-published author and a writing coach on a mission to take away the overwhelm, confusion, and frustration out of the writing process and give you the confidence and knowledge you need to pursue your writing goals. If you want to get even more support from me, head on over to Substack where you can subscribe to my free weekly newsletter all about writing and publishing. You can find me at stephcaswell.substack.com. You can also get a copy of my latest book, Dare to Write, which takes you from your initial idea to published manuscript. It's at stephcaswell.com/shop and on Amazon. And finally, if you're ready to write your book, come and join my group writing program, Foundations, which teaches you the three fundamentals of writing nonfiction: confidence in your concept, certainty as to who your ideal reader is, and clarity on your structure. Without these three foundational pillars, nonfiction books are so much harder to write. And as you know, I'm all about bringing in more ease and simplicity to the writing process. So why not come and join a fabulous group of women who are all on the same journey as you are? I'd love to have you there. The next cohort starts in May and the waiting list is now open. All the links you need to Substack, the Foundations course and my book are in the show notes below. So let's dive into today's episode, and for this special habits episode, I'm looking at how we can take the principles in the smash hit book Atomic Habits and apply them to our writing. So why am I choosing Atomic Habits? Well, it's a game changer for writers who are seeking to build and maintain the habits necessary to bring their book projects to life. It's a book that gives us a really clear framework for creating sustainable writing habits, and with that comes the ability to transform your productivity and your creativity. So whether you're a seasoned author or you're just starting out on your writing journey, the principles outlined in Atomic Habits will help you. The principles include designing your environment to make writing a natural and attractive part of your daily routine, which can sometimes not happen, right? We can sometimes feel as though writing is the least exciting thing that we have to do in a day, or we try purposefully to put it off. So if we can do things about our environment, then we can really help give us a good standing in actually getting our writing done. It also helps you to overcome the common pitfalls of procrastination and writer's block. It can help you harness whether you see yourself as a writer, your kind of identity, your writer's identity. And identity is a massive part of Atomic Habits, and how important it is that when you see yourself as a certain thing, you're more likely to do the habits that go with that. So I'm really looking forward to diving into that during the episode. But it also helps this identity piece around the self-belief that you need to actually write and give you that momentum. Atomic Habits also helps you reframe your challenges and setbacks as opportunities for growth and learning. And that's a big part of being any kind of creative, is this idea of growth mindset, about how when things don't work out, it doesn't mean that we should just give up and wonder why we bothered in the first place. It's all about actually, how can I use this as an opportunity to learn something and to move on in a positive way? And I guess finally, it's that really important aspect of celebration, celebrating your progress. And by doing that, by having these tiny habits that you then celebrate every time you have some sort of milestone, you are then able to stay motivated for the long haul. You're more likely to come back to those daily habits rather than making your writing something that is infrequent and therefore not likely to be, not exciting, but you're less likely to get that momentum and that kind of motivation that keeps you moving forward with whatever the project is that you're working on. I guess for me, Atomic Habits, and I've read it a few times now, I've listened to it as well. I've listened to several interviews with James Clear, and I feel that he has done something which is so important when you're writing a book, which is he's sort of got a movement going. Right? If you think of the number of people who've read Atomic Habits, it's one of the best-selling nonfiction books of all time, and it is permanently in the top 10 in the UK charts still. And bearing in mind, I think he published it in 2016. And when I get my bookseller magazine, I'll look in the nonfiction charts just because I love to know who the movers and shakers are. And without fail, he is in there every week, every single week. Most of the time in the top five, particularly around the time of New Year or when there's something that, again, maybe September time when people have that kind of feeling of trying to achieve goals that they've set themselves. So he's always definitely in the top 10 for sure, and most frequently in the top five. And that is astonishing for a nonfiction book to continually be in the bestseller list years after publication. And he has, well, he doesn't have to write anything ever again, quite frankly, because he sold millions of copies of it. But I go back to this point around it being a movement. People who are Atomic Habits fans, including myself, we're really behind it as a movement. We sort of see ourselves as part of a unique group of people that have found the answer to something that maybe other people haven't found yet. And I'm not evangelical about it, but I do feel that this sort of approach when it comes to cultivating excitement for your book is so interesting to learn from. Because yes, the book is important. Yes, the book is well written, of course. Yes, it's something that has helped loads of people, but more than that, it's created this movement, this group of people, this wave of excitement about changing your behavior, changing your life in a way that's much more manageable than we ever thought before. And I've spoken before around this whole switch and dial analogy, and I will link to the article in the show notes because I come back to it time and time again because I find it fascinating. And to kind of sum it up for you, it was an article I saw on LinkedIn from an editor, and it was so profound for me because it spoke about the importance of your book not being a dial but being a switch. And what he meant in that, the editor, and I can't remember his name off the top of my head, but as I say, I will link to it, is he talked about how the great nonfiction books flick a switch for the reader. They take something and they turn it on its head. They make people sit up and take notice. And I think Atomic Habits is a perfect example of this kind of book because it took something that is fundamentally the same, as in how we adopt a habit, and it flicked a switch. It turned it on its head. It gave us something new and different, a different perspective, new research, and made something that was maybe something people already thought they knew a lot about, particularly after Charles Duhigg had written that fantastic book, The Power of Habit. And it was this new take on something that was or had already been written about. And they're the books that stand out, the ones that flick a switch, the ones that actually get people to make the changes that they seek, rather than just turning the dial of knowledge up, which most books do. They turn up the knowledge. They're not books that can instantly make people change and do something that is effective, so effective almost immediately. And they're the books we're trying to write as business book writers, as non-fiction writers. We're wanting to be the switch books. We're not wanting to be the dial books. And it's easier said than done, of course. But the books that do the best in non-fiction are those switch flickers. And that's what we can aspire to write, to be honest. So let's crack on with how we can help ourselves using Atomic Habits. But I did think that was a worthwhile point to make around why the book's so successful and why it's helped so many people make the changes that they seek. As I mentioned, the biggest part, or one of the biggest parts of Atomic Habits, is this notion of identity and why seeing yourself as a particular type of person can actually be the thing that makes the difference in behaviour change. So I'm often asked, when should people call themselves writers? And it's not something that I know the answer to definitively. I like to say that people are writers when they write. Okay, it doesn't mean that you have to write books to be called a writer. For me, it's if you're someone who writes regularly in whatever capacity that might look like, then you are a writer. Other people might think, well, actually, you can't call yourself a writer, or maybe let's say an author, until you have books published. I don't know. I feel like actually, the sooner that we can identify as writers, the better. And James Clear is so hot on this notion of identity. So I'm going to just tap into it a tiny bit and let's see what we can learn to help ourselves. So first and foremost, our habits are often a reflection of our identity and how we perceive ourselves. So when we see ourselves as a writer, we are more likely then to engage in writing habits consistently. If you're somebody who thinks, well, I'm not really a writer, I can't call myself a writer, you're not really going to pursue that. It's the same with anything. If you think about running, if you don't really think of yourself as a runner, are you going to complete the training program? Are you going to get the right shoes? Are you going to get the right sweat wicking fabric? And I think when we start to see ourselves as in these identities, it can be something that's really transformative. It has been for me. When I think of things that behavior that I've tried to change in the past, I feel that as soon as we can call ourselves the thing that we're aspiring to be, the habits that we're aspiring to. So maybe it's around healthy eating. You might say, oh, I'm not someone who eats refined sugar. The sooner that you sort of have that as your identity, the easier it is to adopt the habits that go with it. So if we think about writing identity, the sooner you can call yourself a writer, the more likely it is that you're going to prioritize your writing time, because then that aligns with your image as a writer, your self-image. The more likely it is that you're going to seek out the learning opportunities and resources that you need to improve. Maybe it's working with somebody like me, a writing coach, or maybe it's going on a course, or maybe it's getting some particular writing software. Whatever it is, the sooner that we think of ourselves as writers, the more likely we're going to seek out those opportunities. And then we'll also embrace the challenges better, and we'll persist when things get hard, because anything that is creative or anything that is something that maybe you've not done before and you're learning, even if it's couched to 5K, if you can see yourself as a runner and you therefore think of yourself as somebody, I am someone who runs, then you are more likely to, when the runs are hard, you're more likely to persist and you're more likely to keep going out even when it's raining or even when it's dark and you don't feel like it and it's a bit cold and you'd much rather just sit on the sofa curled up with a book. Like, this is my constant battle with my relationship with running is around that, you know, that whole, do I really have to? But because I see myself as a runner and because I'm proud of my running identity, I do it. And it sometimes even surprises me when I come back and I think, really didn't think I would actually go through with that. And I do. But it's just interesting. And it's the same with writing. I'm not someone who always sits down with, a spring in my seat or a spring in my fingers. I'm not always someone who approaches it with glee, but because I see myself as a writer, I call myself a writer, I introduce myself as a writer, that's now my identity. And when people ask me what I do for a living, I say I'm a writer. And because I'm a writer, I have to sit down and write. So I can't really call myself a writer and then not do the writing. I think it's really helpful when it comes to challenges, when it comes to procrastination, when it comes to those times when we want to give up, that when we can remind ourselves of our identity as a writer, it can help us kind of push through and really get to the end of a project. And identity-based habits, it's really helpful to help focus us on who we want to become rather than just what we want to achieve. And I think that's the crux of it, right? We want to achieve a book. That's the thing, isn't it? For most people who are authors or aspiring authors. If you think about it only as the outcome of a book, then yes, it's still exciting and yes, it can still motivate you. But actually, if the outcome is that you are going to be an author or you're going to call yourself an author for the first time, then that's far more appealing. If someone can say, I'm a published author, that's so exciting. And that's such an amazing thing to call yourself. And when you can step into that, it's fascinating how it can change your whole perception of your skill set, of how much you enjoy it, and how much you might want to write another book. So don't underestimate the power of calling yourself a writer and then what that does to you. So if you're thinking to yourself, right, okay, I'm not quite sure I'm ready to start calling myself a writer, or I'm not sure if I should. First and foremost, don't should yourself. You need to remember that. You can call yourself a writer whenever it feels comfortable to you. But I was interestingly talking to Dr. Emma Hepburn on a podcast where I'm interviewing her. She'll be on the podcast in a few episodes' time. And we were talking about this whole thing around writer identity. And she's written three books, right? She's written three books with Hachette, who are one of the big five publishers, and she still wasn't calling herself a writer. It's fascinating to me that that can hold so much power. So perhaps if that is you as well, and it was me, believe me, it was me. I used to call myself, oh, I'm a teacher, or I used to be a teacher, but now I call, you know, but I also write books. And actually, I hadn't been teaching for like 2 years. So why I was still clinging on to that identity is, I don't know. I don't know why I was doing it, but maybe it felt safe. But actually, by really leaning into the discomfort of calling myself a writer, by that point, I think I'd done 4 books, 5 books, and I still wasn't calling myself an author, which is bananas. But now I know why, and now I've stepped into it, I feel so much more confident and so much more self-assured, and it's really helped me actually do more writing and better writing and to do this podcast, which, you know, I would never have done if I wasn't calling myself an author. So perhaps you want to write down some sort of mission statement about your writing, or what your values are as a writer, because that can really help. And I listened to such a fascinating discussion around the difference between values and beliefs the other day, and it was with Adam Grant, who's written several books, and it was on the Diary of a CEO podcast. And I find Adam really interesting to listen to. And they were talking a lot about writing, but also he was saying about values and beliefs. And he was saying beliefs are what you believe to be true and values are what you believe to be right. And I thought that was such an interesting take on the whole concept of values and beliefs. So what are your values as a writer? What do you value? What are your aspirations? And I think it's great to think big at this point, but perhaps also it can be around surrounding yourself with other writers. Maybe that will help you to see yourself as a writer and to help you realize your identity. Or it could be that you attend workshops and you go to events and you take courses and whatever it is that you can start to help to immerse yourself in that environment and to call yourself a writer, I think will help you, because you'll hear other people calling themselves writers, and that's really inspiring. Fundamentally, I believe that it's through the habits, it's through the tiny daily habits of writing that you will soon start to see yourself as a writer. Yes, we can do these other things that I've mentioned, but the more you prove to yourself that you are a writer, the more that you prove to yourself that you're taking this seriously and that you're sitting down every day and you're putting the work in, the more quickly you'll be able to use that as your identity. You'll be able to call yourself an author, you'll be able to call yourself a writer, whatever terminology you want to use. So I think we're trying to, and James says this, you know, it's a vote for the type of person we want to become. And I love that. It's a quote I've read and a quote I've used before. It's showing yourself that you have confidence in yourself and that you're voting for this person that you are trying to be. Yes, it can help then with imposter syndrome and self-doubt, and you can reframe them as opportunities for growth and discovery. And it's only by calling yourself a writer that you might be more able to have this growth mindset. So it's definitely worth thinking about. And if you're not calling yourself a writer yet, then I encourage you to think about why that might be, but also to start leaning into that discomfort and to actually call yourself a writer, even maybe before you feel ready to. And you'll be surprised at how amazing it feels. I did have a think about the ways that other ways we can use atomic habits in our writing practices, because there are so many nuggets in this book, so many things that we can apply to the writing world, to our writing habits. And I picked out a few that I hope will help you. So the first is the habit stacking. So if you don't know what habit stacking is, it's when you stack on a new habit to an old one. It can really help with building consistency. So it might be that you have a habit that you've already got in place that you can then tag on this writing habit to. In his book Tiny Habits by BJ Fogg, he talks about habit stacking as well. Charles Duhigg talks about habit stacking, but I liked the BJ Fogg example of flossing his teeth. And he was saying that he realized that he often put off flossing his teeth, or he never bothered. And he said the reason that he loved it so much was because it enabled him to brush his teeth. And then for him, it was like he was just going to floss one tooth. And the habit of brushing his teeth meant that he stacked on the flossing bit to, you know, the teeth cleaning. And he didn't think, I've got to floss my whole mouth. It was like, I'm just going to floss one tooth. And then actually what happened is, once you got started on one tooth, then of course, you know, you're more inclined to do the others. He also did something around doing more press-ups. He wanted to make sure he was doing regular push-ups, and he tagged that onto going to the toilet. So he would go to the loo, he'd wash his hands, and then he'd do two push-ups, I think it was, or three push-ups every time he went to the loo. And he said sometimes he would do just three, other times he would do 10, but he'd always do some push-ups. But he tagged it on to an already formed habit, and by doing that you're more likely then to do the new habit. And I think we can apply that maybe to our writing. And how I do it is I make myself a particular type of coffee, which is just a black Americano, and that's my writing drink. I don't drink it any other time, and I make myself a black Americano in my coffee machine. Then I come and sit at my desk, and I put my phone on Do Not Disturb, put on the same playlist, and then I write. And it's that little practice, that little ritual, habits I already have, like getting my coffee, I tagged writing onto, and now I'm able to do it every day at the same time. So it's just those little things that we can do that can help our brains to establish this new writing habit. James Clear also talks about this whole idea of the 2-minute rule, which I have spoken about in the episode on procrastination, but it's worth repeating. The 2-minute rule is for something like writer's block. And when you sit down and you think, oh, I just don't know what I'm going to say. I don't know what I'm going to write. I feel like there's nothing inside me to say. The 2-minute rule is, it's basically, can you just write anything for the first 2 minutes? And it might be that you just write a single paragraph or a single sentence. And it's almost trying to trick your brain that you're only going to be doing this for the 2 minutes. And then once you kind of, again, once momentum builds, you're more likely to carry on. And then you'll then write, you know, a section or a chapter or whatever it might be in that 30-minute sprint you might be doing. And the 2-minute thing is just a really good way of saying to our brains when they're procrastinating, oh, it's fine, I'm just going to do 2 minutes. And once 2 minutes is up, then I'm going to do something else. And your brain's like, oh, okay, this isn't so hard. I'm not going to worry about it. But actually, you know, even if you set a timer for 2 minutes, at the end of the 2 minutes, it might be that you don't want to do any more. And in which case, great, you've still sat down and you've still shown up for yourself. But it might more likely be the fact that you're into a little bit of a flow and you're like, okay, right, I can get on with the rest of this now. So that's a really good one. The third one is an inspiring writing environment. And if you can design your environment, and James Clear talks so much about the importance of environment, if you can make the writing habits more attractive by the environment you're in, you're more likely to do them. And it's different for everyone. People have different setups that work for them. And obviously my setup works for me, but it might not work for you. But I'll give you just as an example what my writing environment is, which is sitting in the corner of the lounge, and I sit in here and I have a desk that tries to be tidy, because a tidy desk is a tidy mind. And like I said, I always have a coffee. I always have my playlist. I always have my phone notifications off. And this environment works for me. It's not the only place I write. I do go to coffee shops because I like that kind of background noise. But my writing environment has to be appealing. It has to engage me in the process. And I was talking to a wonderful writing coach on the podcast when I was recording a conversation recently called Natalia Andrasova. And again, that will be coming out over the next few months. And she and I were talking about this idea of practice and how yogis turn up to the mat and it's a practice. They see it as a kind of something that is almost sacred. When they arrive on the mat, they're there to practice this art form of yoga, this beautiful way of moving our bodies and engaging with our breath and to our inner selves. And actually, she was talking about how she likes to see writing in the same way, that she shows up and it's a practice, it's a sacred time, it's 30 minutes where she's just concentrating on something that is important to her. And I loved that. I've never thought of it like that. And I think by creating the right environment, you can kind of do that for yourself. You can say, this is my space, this is my writing time, and nothing gets in the way of it. When we can view it like that, we're more likely to show up regularly. The next part of Atomic Habits that I feel is so much in line with what I talk about, so aligned with my own practice, my own advice to people, is the whole celebrating the small wins and tracking your progress. And you know me, if you followed me for a while, you know that I have a very geeky spreadsheet that I log my workout on every day because I like to see it going up. I like to record, no matter how much I do, no matter how many words come out of my 30-minute sprint. It might only be 500, it might be 1500. Who knows what kind of flow I'll be in on that day. But having those little milestones, and often when I get to the end of a chapter when I'm in first draft mode, I will often celebrate by, sometimes it's just going out and having a nice coffee and reading my book, or it could just be like my favourite chocolate bar. Although the chocolate bar I tend to try and do maybe at the end or when I'm midway through and at the end. Otherwise, the rate I write at, I'd be eating a chocolate bar a day, which... isn't ideal, but you get the idea, right? It's something that you look forward to, that you want to do as a reward to yourself. So don't wait until you finish the book. Reward your milestones, reward those bits that are important. And again, maybe it's just rewarding yourself for showing up by having a gorgeous coffee next to you, and that's the reward, right? It's also vital to adopt the growth mindset, and there are episodes in this podcast series where I talk just about mindset. I'm actually going to record another one over the next couple of weeks, but there is one further back in the back catalogue around mindset and what growth mindset is and why you should have it as a writer. But kind of in a nutshell, it's about reframing things that are hard and looking at them as learning opportunities, and what can you learn from this hard experience. And as you may know, I'm doing my cozy crime at the moment, a novel in a new genre for me, and it's testing my growth mindset. I am very, at the moment, going through fixed to growth, fixed sometimes being, I can't do this, this is a load of shit and it's going in the bin. And then reminding myself that this is a process I can learn from. Like, this is the first time I'm writing in this genre. This is going to be the hardest it's ever going to be, because I'm learning how to structure it in a way that is paramount to this genre type. And I have to go through this process to learn it. I can't sort of circumnavigate it. Can't get to the end without going through the middle, right? So it's so important that I recognize this as a learning opportunity and feel at the end of it, I'm going to be happy I persevered and that it's kind of taught me so much. And it's just worth remembering that when we're going through the sticky middle of the process, which is often when things can come up, when people have started and they're fully motivated with their book and then they get to the middle and they wonder why the hell they began. And that's often when I get people reach out to me, they're halfway through and they've lost their way. So that's just something that I think is important to remember. What are the learning things that you can take from this? Even if it's just from one session, which was hard, like sit back and reflect. What can you learn from this? How could you look at it with a different, I was about to say a different mindset, but it's true. How can you reframe it to look at it differently and think to yourself, yes, this is hard, but all things that are worth doing are hard. So how can I learn from this? And then James also touches on, this is the last sort of point I think is so valid to us as writers, around the good enough principle, how we have to overcome perfectionism. Perfectionism can really hinder our writing habits. And you may have heard me talk about before how I started my first book several times over because I was trying to write and edit at the same time and make it perfect in the first draft mode. And that's just ridiculous. And if that's you and that's what's stopping you, then you've got to stop. There is an episode of the podcast which is about first drafts and how you can sort of plow on through them. And it's worth going back to listen to. I'll link to it in the show notes. But it's this point of perfectionism that can stop even our habits fully forming. And by making habits small, like 30 minutes every day, like just writing for 2 minutes and seeing what happens, these things are all well and good. But if you are stopping yourself because you're trying to make everything perfect on the first attempt, then you will not get far. And the habits will, even no matter how small they are, they will still feel like you're wading through treacle. Aim for good enough, even when you are hitting publish. Because if you keep tweaking and you keep tweaking and you keep changing, think, oh, I'm just going to do this one extra bit. I'm just going to check this bit again. I promise you, you won't publish it. Because there's always something we can change. There's always something we can improve. Remember, when you're writing and you're doing these small habits, just think to yourself, good enough is good enough, right? And let's give ourselves a bit of compassion and a little bit of love and just do the best we can, because that's all we can do. So there you have it, today's episode on Atomic Habits. If you haven't read Atomic Habits yet, please do me a favor and go and buy a copy. Go and get it from the library. Just please read it. It will change how you feel about writing. It will take something massive and make it small. And that's the only way I've ever written all my books, 30 minutes a day. That's all I do. Small habits every day, consistently done, has got 7 books done in 8 years. So if I can do it, I know you can, because I wasn't born able to write books. I learned and I practiced and I did my habits, and that's how I am doing what I'm doing today. And I'm just so grateful for it. So I hope this has given you a little taster of how Atomic Habits could be applied to your writing practice. It's given you a boost in confidence, and they've made such a big difference to me, Atomic Habits. So I hope that they make a difference to you too. So I hope you enjoyed today's episode. If you know somebody who might enjoy this too, please forward it on to them. I would absolutely love to know that this podcast is helping as many people as it can help, as it has helped. I really love knowing that this is something that people listen to regularly to get inspiration for their writing. So if you can spread the word, please do. If you can review it, please do. If you want to connect to me, you want to let me know if the episode was any use to you, if you enjoyed it, please contact me, steph@stephcaswell.com. You can find me on Instagram @stephcaswellauthor, and I'm also on LinkedIn. So do come and find me, do come and say hello, and let's talk about your book and your writing. And I hope you find the Atomic Habits that work for you. So until next time, my love, happy writing.